ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् नित्यं निरन्तरानन्दं चिद्घनं ब्रह्मनिर्भयं श्रुत्या तर्कानुभूतिभ्याम् अहमस्म्यद्वयं सदा। सो इन् द प्रीवियस् श्लोकास् प्रीवियस् त्री श्लोकास् वि सा लक्ष्मीधरा प्रूविङ्ग् दट् मै नेचर् इस् सच्चिदानन्दं स्वरूपमेव मे सत्त्वं न तु धर्मो न भस्त्वव स्वरूपमेव मे ज्ञानम् अहमेव सुखम्। सो मै वेरि नेचर् इस् सच्चिदानन्दम्। इन् ब्रीफ् सच्चिदानन्दं मै नेचर् हेस् टु बि सत्। सो स्वरूपमेव मे सत्त्वं न तु धर्मो न भस्त्वव। So it is not a dharma, it is not a quality, because dharma means it has to be seen in many places. It's not a quality. Quality is always changing. Quality is dependent on an entity, but sat is itself. It's self-existent. And it is not a universal, it is not a jati, dharma. Or qualities accept gunas, there is always a universal. So there is no universal here, because existence is only there in me. So that existence is not many existences, it's just one existence, even as one akasham becomes or seems to be many depending on the adjuncts limitation, or the medium we can say. So similarly, sattvam is sat is just one, and that one sat therefore cannot be a jati or even guna for that matter. So it is not a guna, it's not a quality that keeps changing, but it is something which is always there, and that is my own nature as a matter of experience, that we are never different from existence. Even when a person is unconscious, we call it unconscious state, but it is not unconscious state, there is consciousness. What the meaning of unconscious state is, unconscious of the world. So unconscious of the world, consciousness is still there, existence is still there. If existence is not there, then we cannot come out of that unconscious state and say, oh, I was unconscious some time back and I am not unconscious now. So there is a relationship between the conscious I now and then the unconscious I previously. And there is a link between both. That link is I. So that I has to be there now, that I has to be there then as well. Else it is impossible. So that means I as existence is a matter of experience. It is a matter of experience that I am as existence. I am always there. So I am ever existent. And I am ever conscious. So we also discussed, like we have discussed, but in brief, if consciousness, when can we say consciousness exists? Consciousness exists when we are able to experience or illumine objects. Objects are the subject. So when there are objects, objects are illumined by me, I illumine objects. When objects are not there, I still illumine myself. Illumination of the illumining power is still there, as in deep sleep, I am illumining. I am illumination in nature. So that means that conscious principle is always there as part of me. So in simple terms, we can say that that which is always part of me is my very nature. So guna, that's why gunas are related to dravyas, substances. Quality is for a substance. If quality is for a substance, the quality keeps changing. The quality might be there today, might not be there tomorrow. So the quality of six-pack, having a six-pack or good abs, that is there today, it's not there tomorrow. Tummy is there today, it's not there tomorrow. Height is there today. Height may not be there tomorrow, because height is relative. Height, this much height, it keeps fluctuating, it keeps changing. So that itself means that it's not part of the substance. It is related to the substance. Here there is no relation. It is identity or oneness. So the relationship here is tadatmyam. So not even tadatmyam. Tadatmyam means like oneness or identity. Here there is no identity. Here it is oneness. So there is no identification, but it is oneness. it's one with the substance. So such gunas which are one with the substance is what is called as Swarupam or very nature. Differentiation is not possible. There is no separation that is possible. That is when something becomes a part, not a part. A part is it's a figurative way of saying it is very nature of the entity. So even the same with Sukham. So all the Sukham we know that whatever Yajnavalkya says, all the happiness is because of the happiness for oneself. And it is the happiness of the self, it is the bliss in the self that comes out through other happinesses. It is the bliss of the self that itself gets displayed as even anger or sorrow. So what is sorrow? So sorrow means like we have that bliss, we are not able to experience that bliss, therefore sorrow comes. So it means because of that bliss only the sorrow also comes. So everything comes because of that bliss. That bliss when it gets very diminished and it becomes negative due to adjunct limitation, again limitation or relationship or association. We won't get into the details of what is the difference between limitation, association, relation, etc. All are ultimately one and the same. So when the bliss is limited by objects, that is when the bliss becomes maybe negative, and that is when it becomes sorrow. So sorrow, what is sorrow? Lack of happiness is sorrow. Lack of happiness means what? Negative happiness is sorrow. So that is, so my very nature is happiness, bliss, because at all points of time it is there. And it is a matter of experience that even in deep sleep we have that happiness. So people who are living, okay, living in the sense with respect to body. So people who are living always are happy. So even during times of sorrow they are happy that they are living. So many people don't even know this happiness and they think they are suffering, they are having sorrow, but they are not. That happiness is always there. It is a matter of whether we see it or not, it is a different thing. So happiness is part of me, part of I. Whether we acknowledge that happiness, that is a different thing. So there is a rock in front of us. It doesn't matter whether we accept it or not, the rock is there. It doesn't matter whether we accept or not, it is there, it is always there. So in the same way, bliss is my very nature. It is always there. And a person who apprehends the rock and says, okay, I see the rock, and accepts. And that's why Mahatma speak about acceptance of everything. So everything has to be accepted because everything is one Brahman. Everything is one Ishvara. If we accept everything as they are, like as Nama Rupam in Ishvara, then all problems immediately vanish. So if we accept the rock in front of us, we will be able to see that it is a rock and then get benefits out of it. In the same way, any person, not a sadhaka or a vishwasi or nirishwaravadi, ishwaravadi, irrespective of all distinctions, any person who is ready to accept this even for one moment, he'll be able to experience the bliss of that Atman. He'll be able to experience the bliss. He will be. There is no doubt. There is no samshayaha, as Krishna says in many places. There is no doubt with respect to this. But that acceptance, that willingness to accept it even for one moment, that is something which is very hard to get. We are so used to not accepting things. We are so used to criticizing. We are so used to having our mind filled with a lot of preconceived notions. It's hardly, if we analyze one day of our life, or even 1 week or 1 month, it will be surprising to find that hardly, like once or twice, we will be able to be without any preconceived notion. Most of the time we have some notion, some kind of conception. And the time when we, even worldly experiences, when we are able to be without any preconceived notion, that is when we get happiness out of that kind of experience. So a person, even any person in this world, if he or she is able to have that kind of preconceived notion and try to experience the bliss of the Atman immediately, he'll be able to experience it because it is one's own very nature. So my very nature is Sachidanandam, Sat, Chit and Anandam, the three terms. So now the question comes, big question comes, okay, all these three are my nature. So that can only mean one of two things. If all those three are my nature, all those three are either together. If they are together, then why the three terms? So that means they are not together. And if they are not together, then there is duality inside me. So if there is duality inside me, your concept of Advaita itself vanishes. Because Swagata Bedam, you can say Swagata Bedam comes into existence. So this such a theory is being refuted, that Sat, Chit and Anandam are not three. They are not three different natures of the Atman. They don't create three parts in the Atman. Atman is one, and each of these three are one alone. They're just three different perspectives. So three different perspectives doesn't mean there are three different entities. So when we look at a person, from the front, we say, oh, he has like a nose, eyes, and mouth. And then when we look from the side, we say, okay, he has a hand. When we look from the back, we say he has a hair. So that doesn't mean that from all these are three different perspectives. That doesn't mean or that doesn't prove that there are three people. So how can we prove that there are no three people? Prove that all those three, the eyes, hand, mouth, hair, etc., go hand in hand. They are inseparable. So when we can prove that something is inseparable, then that means there are no many there. Inseparable or inseparation. So that is what Lakshmidhara says in the next shloka, that all these three are one. All these three go hand in hand, therefore they are not multiple natures of the Atman that we will have to accept. We have to accept Dvaita. They are all the nature of one Atman, which is Advaitam or Advitiyam. So, let's see as to how. So, the argument that was made that all these three cannot be one, they have to be different. So, why? Then the question was, why these three different? So, these three different is three different perspectives. So that's why in the Shastra we also find Anantam is another way. There are other ways as well, negative ways to point to the Atman. So that's why all these three, Sat, Chit and Anandam, are what we really seek in life, and that's why those are used. For the Atman we don't have to use anything. The Atman, we don't need any expression for the Atman. Atman is Sachidanandam. Oh, yesterday I went to a disco and the person said Atman is Anandam. I am very angry. Atman is not Anandam, it is Sachidanandam. Atman is neither Sat, nor Chit, nor Anandam. What is the Atman? That alone is there. So it is beyond Dvaitam. So Sat, Chit and Anandam, that which always exists. There itself, why do we have to say always exists? That which only exists, that which is beyond existence. But such a beyond existence state cannot be expressed in words. And that cannot be targeted for a person who is experiencing duality. So with respect to duality, how can we negate that duality? One is saying, all these are an illusion. But then like if all these are illusion, then there is shunyavadam, shunyatvam, there is only voidness. Therefore, that which always exists, what does that mean exactly? That means that it is beyond existence. So beyond existence can be explained from empirical vyavaharam, vyavaharikam, that it is which always exists, sat. It is which always exists. That's why sat, Krishna defines sat as not that which always exists, that which is devoid of negation. It's a negative way. Consciousness, what is chit? Chit is that which is never insentient. What is anandam? That which is untainted by sorrow. So some people say, like even Shankara in his Bhashya explains Sat as that which is never tainted by Asat. So a negative way of expression is used there as well. So some people contend and argue that negative way is the right way, positive is the right way, some others say. So all those are not required really. So here it means that these are the very nature of the Atman. It's a way to tell that the Atman is beyond everything. The Atman is beyond everything, but still, that which is beyond everything means either it is real. Real means it is very tough to understand such a real which is beyond everything, or it is unreal. So in order to prove that which is beyond everything is not unreal, we say that the Atman is Sachidanandam in nature. So these are not different natures of the Atman, these are different perspectives, and those different perspectives are just to help us focus on the Atman from a worldly perspective. Oh, I don't need a worldly perspective, I only need ultimate perspective. Okay, ultimate perspective do you need? I am going to explain. And the Guru will remain silent. How can you explain the ultimate? How can you speak about that which is beyond everything? That which is beyond everything is also beyond speech. If it is beyond speech, how can you express it? You cannot express it. So that means everything is with respect to Vyavaharam, worldly perspective. Paramarthikam, very many people like Gaudapada Acharya, they bridge Paramarthikam with Vyavaharam. They create a bridge so that we can easily transition from Vyavaharam to Paramarthikam. So Ajativadam, that the world doesn't exist, only Brahman exists. All those are also not true expressions of Brahman. True expression of Brahman is beyond everything, so there is nothing. It's just experience alone. So there is no scope for word. Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. So there is no yadvachana abhijitam yena vak abhyudate. Abhyudyate, I guess. I think maybe I am wrong in the word there. So we cannot explain such an entity. So these are all from worldly perspective. From a worldly perspective, since Lakshmidhara is speaking from a worldly perspective, the Shastras, when they say Sachidananda Rupaya or Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, they are all explaining, trying to point out to Brahman. So that has to be from a worldly perspective. So whatever you see as we can, this Satchitanandam, like we can explain those from a very different plane as well. So one is saying that Brahman, talking from a Brahman perspective, Brahman is ever existing, Brahman is ever conscious, Brahman is ever anandam, blissful in nature, and that Brahman you are. And another is like, whatever you see as Sat is Brahman, whatever you see as Chit, as being lightful, is Brahman, whatever you see as blissful, that is also Brahman. So it is a Krishna's way of telling that everything, whatever is there, I am that. Whatever is this, I am that. So everything I am. So that perspective also can be taken. So different planes we can explain. So here Lakshmidhara wants to say that your very nature is that of Sachidananda Brahman. So you are one with Brahman. And each of these terms, like, they mean that you are. Sat means you are ever there. Chit means you are ever there and experience your own existence. Ananda means you are ever blissful. So these are to negate Shunyavadam. One is Shunyavadam, that I am there, like I am, like, sorry, I am not there. I am something which is not. So no, I am something which is existent, which is something which is real. And I am not dependent on some Ishvara for my existence. I am not dependent on Vishnu or Shiva for my existence. Oh, I have to depend on Vishnu. Oh, my philosophy says that I have to depend on Vishnu for my existence as well. If Vishnu is not there, I am not there. No, nothing like that. I am Chit. Chit means what? I don't depend on anybody for my existence. Swayam Prakasham, Swayam Jyotir, Bhavatyesha. Swayam Jyotihi, I am Atma. This Atma is Swayam Jyoti. Which means that I don't depend on anybody for my existence. I am self-sufficient. And then, okay, you are self-sufficient, you are ever-existing, but still, such an ever-existing self-sufficient people, we see such self-sufficient people in the world who exist on their own, who create a name and fame for money and everything for themselves. So they are self-sufficient, but they are still suffering. So don't think that here self-sufficient and always existing is not from a worldly perspective. It's from a worldly perspective, but it's not like a worldly person. It is something like which is beyond everything. So therefore it is blissful as well. It is not sorrowful. It is not filled with sorrow. That is why anandam is used. Of course, I don't want to enter into all those. A sadhaka can When a sadhaka tries to analyze, when a sadhaka uses his intellect, he can see from different perspective the Satchidanandam, how it makes sense. Satchidanandam and like different ways to explain it, different ways to analyze it, and all those like we can discuss sometime else, because it is something which is vast and we can use our creative intellect to explain it from different perspectives. Even as the same Mahavakya of "you are that" was explained by Uddalaka in 9 different ways. So all these 3 are my very nature. So all these 3, when we say 3, it is just 3 different perspectives of the same thing. So all those 3 go hand in hand. So when Sat is there, it has to be Chit. When Chit is there, that has to be Anandam as well. Since all these 3 go hand in hand, therefore there is no 3 different entities, nor there is a bhedam inside the entity because of these 3 nature. It is just one nature from 3 different perspective, because vastu, the entity, the reality is just one. One means ekameva advitiyam, without any bhedam, abhedam. It is, there is abhedam. So that is what Lakshmidara says here. We see the shloka and then see as to why all these 3 go hand in hand. So nahi nana swarupam syad ekam vastu kadachana tasmad akande vasmi vijahat jagatim bhidham. So nahi nana swarupam syad. So there is no nana swarupam, there are no different natures or 2 or 3 natures. Not there. Why not there? Ekam vastu kadachana. In this ekam vastu, this is one entity. So in that one entity, how can there be many? If this is one. This is one, it is partless. We know it. Atman is partless. So Atman is nishkalam. It is without any parts. So if it is doesn't have any parts and there are many nature, that means it has to accept internal bhedam, that is impossible. Or some kind of external bhedam, that is also impossible in the Atman. Okay, 3 different nature because of 3 different viewers. Or like we talked about 3 different perspective vision. So here, though there are 3 different perspective vision accepted from a sadhaka's perspective, but still, it's just one entity. It's not 3 different entity, because sajatiya vijatiya bhedam. There is no sajatiya vijatiya bhedam. There is no external or internal bhedam that we can accept that. It's a vastu. So vastu is something which always exists. And vastu is something which is beyond bhedam. So why vastu cannot accept bhedam? So we know very well. A person who accepts bhedam, what would happen to a person who accepts bhedam? Manasai vedam aptavyam neha nanasti kinchana. Know through the mind that there is no duality at all here. Mrityo samrityam gacchati yaiha nana iva pashyati. One who sees or accepts this duality, such a person will go from death to death. So wherever there is bhedam, there is, of course, bhedam itself means there is change, or part or bhedam, there is always change. So parts and bhedam, wherever bhedam is there, there has to be some or the other change. So even if the object or if there are 2 people in the house, that 2 bhedam itself means the 2 people are not changing, but still perspectives change. The mental state changes of one person or the other person, and therefore there is change. Change itself means it will lead to death. So that means vastu, this vastu is something which is ever existing. So there is no bhedam, it doesn't accept any bhedam. So since this vastu doesn't accept any parts or bhedam, because it is a vastu, vastu means that which always exists. So bhedam or parts means it becomes unreal, eternally or ultimately unreal. So vastu, in this vastu there cannot be any nana swarupam. Therefore, tasma, therefore, akanda eva asmi. I am akandam. So that is why Brahman, in many places we see this akanda ananda bodham. Puratraye kridati yascha jivaha tatastu jatam sakalam vichitram adharam anandam akanda bodham yasmin layam yati puratrayam cha. So Kaivalya Upanishad says that there is one jiva who goes through all these 3 different states of Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti, and that jiva's adharam, basis is anandam, akanda bhodam, akanda ananda bhodam, indivisible, blissful Brahman. bodham, consciousness. That is akhandam. So that akhandam, akhandam means like it can, there is no khandam, there is no parts, there is no difference, there is no division, there is no, even when we say like a perspective vision of Brahman, that perspective vision is because we see from different places. So can we really see Brahman from different places? We cannot. We can hint at Brahman from different places, but Brahman is one. And when a person Brahmavid Brahmeva Bhavati, when a person becomes Brahman, there is no Bhedam. If there is no Bhedam, then how can there be different perspectives? So there cannot be. So ultimately there cannot be. And for Sachidanandam, even from a worldly perspective, we cannot have many there, because all those three go hand in hand. When we say three things go hand in hand, we don't say like those are three different things. Three things that are related, closely related, we have to call it one. We can't call it three. So three friends who are together, we don't call them like by three friends or individual. We'll say like whenever we have to talk about them, we'll say, oh, those, that group of people. So in ashram, like Amma's ashram or Chinmaya mission, we don't call each people like and say, oh, that person is doing good, this person is doing good. They are all together. When they are together, we call them one. We call them Amma's mission, Amma's ashram, Chinmaya mission. We call it one. So that means in this case also, all these three go hand in hand. And okay, the example is not apt as such, because in an ashram, it accepts in internal parts. In these three, or with these three, Sat-Chit-Anandam, they go hand in hand. And each of them doesn't accept any parts. Sat cannot have parts. Chit cannot have parts. Anandam cannot have parts, because that will lead them, or that will lead them to be the opposite of what they are. Sat, if it has parts, or if it accepts for parts or association or relation, then it will become Asat, because it is subject to change and death. Chit also the same thing. Anandam also the same thing, because Anandam, when it is limited, it becomes Dukkam. Limited means when it accepts for difference, when it accepts for association or relation, that means limitation is there. Limitation means it becomes Dukkam. So that means it becomes the opposite of Anandam. So Akhanda Vastu, all these three, like it, there is no division accepted in Brahman. So all these three, when we say all these three and even Anantam and all those different qualities, we just hinted one entity, and from our ignorance perspective, we say that it is this. From this perspective, it is Sat. From this perspective, it is Chit. From this perspective, it is Anandam, even as we hint at a person from different levels. So we try to say, oh, that person who works there. Oh, like, may I know many people working in Bank of America. Okay, the person who works in Bank of America, New Jersey. Oh, New Jersey, I know many people there. Okay, Bank of America person working in Princeton area. Oh, there also there are two or three banks. Okay, the person working in Plainsboro, Bank of America. Oh, there also I know many people. Okay, the person who is working in Bank of America, Plainsboro, in this division and with this height. So all those are different explanations, but they all point to one person. The entity is one. The entity is one. The way to express it is many. Ekam sad vipra bahudha vadanti. And why that manyness? The manyness is not in that entity. The manyness is from the perspective of the viewer, which is our ignorance perspective. Ignorance, we are in dvaitam. Ignorance is dvaitam, and therefore there are many expressions or many definitions or many ways to explain it, whereas the entity is one alone. Akhandam, Brahman is ever akhandam. We would have heard about Akhandanandas, many Akhandananda Swamijis. So Akhandam, it is something which is indivisible. There cannot be any division accepted in it. There are many ways to explain even indivisible state of Brahman. Simple, we know like partless. Brahman is partless, and then Brahman, from an ultimate perspective, Brahman is Ekameva Advitiyam, Brahman alone, Sadeva. Saumya idam agre asit. If it only exists, then there cannot be any division. Division is only when there are many. So, I am a self-employed person. I have a company. Oh, like what are divisions are there in the company? Oh, there are no divisions as such. Why no divisions? Because only I am there. Oh, like I am only there, but there are divisions. Like I am there and I am the producer, I am the director, I am the singer, actor, everything I am. So in that case, there is no division, everybody knows. Okay, like I am telling that all these divisions are there to show, to prove that I am multi-talented. But are there those divisions? Really, there is no divisions because it's just one entity. The division concept is explained there for a better understanding, but the division concept is not flawless there. There is a flaw in the division concept, but still some cases flaws are accepted. In some cases, certain flaws are accepted. So when we go to the doctor and do our, the doctor does checkup, so the doctor will like take our weight. So a couple of years back when I went for a checkup, they will take the weight, and after taking the weight, they'll say, "Oh, you are wearing this sneaker, the sneaker and your thick jeans. So all those, like, I'll reduce half a pound, reduce 1 pound for it." So they'll reduce it, adjust it. So flawed, it's not flawless. The weight that is taken is not flawless, and for that we add a kind of a what do they call? I forgot the term. You add a kind of a range, so you call it a range, error range or something. I forgot the name term for it. So you say plus or minus 0.5, plus or minus 5, the plus or minus 10. So things like that we add. So we nothing is flawless in this world except one entity, which is Brahman, and which is not part of this world. So we cannot say anything in the world is flawless. So anyway, that is a separate discussion. So akhandam, Brahman is akhandam, Brahman is indivisible, partless. So tasmad akhande vasmi, therefore I am akhandam. So this akhanda vastu, akhandam means there is no bhedam, therefore vijahat jagatim vidham. Vidham, vidham means difference, jagatim means of this world, jagat. So jagat's bhedam, vijahat, stand beyond, I am beyond, I go beyond. Trijomiyananda gives the meaning as giving up or beyond or not tainted by. So I am not like I give up all these bhedam. I renounce all these bhedam and I am beyond these bhedam and akhanda vastu. So abheda akhanda vastu we can say. So going back, we will come to akhandam a little later. But for now, all those three, Sat, Chit and Anandam, go hand in hand. So we have to prove that they go hand in hand. Of course, the entity is one. If the entity is one and it doesn't accept for internal differences, then that means all these three have to go hand in hand. We cannot take them separately. We cannot account for them from a different perspective. That is not complete. So we can say that from the left, like the Statue of Liberty, looks like this. From the right, it looks like this. From the front, it looks like this. But that those are all not independent. When we say about Statue of Liberty, we'll have to say from the left, it is like this. From the right, it is like this. Or put an assumption that from the left, this definition is from the left. So unless we do that, we'll have to account everything. So these three different, like Sat, Chit and Anandam, though they are three different entities, they go hand in hand because the entity is one alone. So how can we prove that they go hand in hand? Try to see whether Sat has Chit and Anandam as part of it. When we talk about Sat, can we say that Chit is also there? There are three Swarupam. So the combination that is possible is six. So Sat and Chit, Sat and Anandam. Then ideally, Chit and Sat, we have to take the opposite as well. So, Chit and Sat, Chit and Anandam, and then Anandam and Sat, and Anandam and Chit. Or we could just take the three. So, Sat and Chit, Sat and Anandam, and Chit and Anandam. So, a simple way, the Swayam Prakashyati, not simple way, sorry. Simple way we will take, but Swayam Prakashyati in his commentary, if interested, you can go through that. There he takes up each of these six and tries to and proves that both go together. So in simple terms, Sat. So Sat, when we speak about Sat, Sat has to be Chit. Sattva Bhasika, Chitkva Vetara, Sattayahi Chit, Chittayahi Aham. Sattva Bhasika, Chitkva Vetara, without Chit, Chitta is that which proves existence. Sat is existence. So existence can be proven only when some light falls on it. So Sat, if it has to be, like as we have discussed this, Sat, if it has to be always there, Chit has to be part of it. The light has to be part of Sat for Sat to be ever existent. So if Sat is not Chit, so if Sat is not, doesn't have Chit as part of it, both are not together, Sat Chit is not together, then Sat, when we talk about Sat, Sat becomes Asat. So Sat without Chit is Asat. And Chit without Sat is Jadam. Because Chit means light. Light means like light has to be there always. If light is not there always, light is not there always, then light will become Jadam. It will not be pulsating. Pulsation is or Chit or pulsation. Spuranam is possible only when it is always there. It's like a heartbeat. It has to be there always, at least. For the heartbeat, it is for an entire life or one birth, one body. So here it's not the case. So Chit, if it doesn't have that, then it becomes Jadam. Chit without Sat is Jadam. Sat without Chit is Asat. The same can be said to be Sat with Anandam. So Sat without Anandam. So it's without Anandam means Anandam, immediately we can pull in the term of Anantam. So it is like when we call somebody, then we already call another person. So when we call Amma, immediately it means that Amrita Swarupananda or Saumya or Krishna Amrita Prana or somebody else is also going to come. It's meant. If you call one person, another person is all automatically meant. If you call Laurel, then Hardy also is already there. If we call Tom, then automatically Jerry is also there. We don't have to call them separately. It's meant. Or it's something which is known, which is always there. So, Anandam means Anantam. So, Anandam or Anantam, infinite, blissful. So, if infinite and blissful is not there as part of Sat, like if Sat is not infinite, it is finite. If it is finite, it is limited. If it is limited, it is Asat, because it will cease to exist. The same can be said to be Chit as well. So, that means Sat and Chit go hand in hand. Sat and Anandam go hand in hand. So, Sat and Anandam go hand in hand means, it's like telling Sat and Chit go hand in hand. A, first statement is Sat equal to Chit. Sat plus Chit. Sat always goes with Chit. Sat always goes with Anandam, which means Chit also always goes with Anandam. Which means that Sachidanandam, all those three go hand in hand. When they go hand in hand, when they are inseparable, we can't call them separate. So we can call them separate only from an ignorance perspective, only from only in order to understand them, not from a true perspective. So here it means that they all the three are one and the same. So all the three are one and the same means there is only one entity. So that means akandam. It is akanda vastu alone. So all the three go hand in hand. So the difference perspective are all those three, though they are variously explained, it is just a bridge from the worldly duality that we are in and into the non-dual entity. So it is a kind of a bridge. So all those three go hand in hand. That's why Sachidanandam. So wherever we hear Sachidanandam, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma or Sachidanandam, all those three are mentioned together. So that means that the Vastu is one, there is no difference. There is no three different entities or three different natures. Because all these three go together hand in hand. Therefore it makes sense. It is logical to accept that all those three are one. So there are three different perspectives, but still it is one entity. So this akanda vastu. Akanda vastu is something which is worth contemplating a lot on. So akandam means there is no division. There is no bhedam. So vijahat jagatim bhidam. So the various differences that we see in this world, the Brahman or I stand beyond them. So So I stand beyond, I am beyond this bhedam. So that itself means that I am not affected by anything. I am not affected the least by whatever happens in this world. So many things happen in this world. We see that hurricanes happen, each and every day bombs kill people. Osama bin Laden, like he is saying that he will attack the US more. People are getting killed in war, whether it is Iraq war or Afghanistan war, it doesn't matter. Yuddham. Yuddham is always trouble for everyone. And Yuddham, when people have enmity towards each other, is more dangerous. As Amma always says, in ancient times, Yuddham, after Yuddham, people would drink together and all those. So, that is like long back. Not long back. The enmity is like to what they do. They want to settle things through Yuddham. They respect the person as such. So you see, like 10 years back, there was a TV serial, where the topic was India and Pakistan. So a major of India, an Indian major, was captured, and he was kept in prison of a particular general of Pakistan. So one day the general asked his deputies to bring that major, and everybody is surprised what is going to happen. So I was thinking that the major would be killed or something. And the major goes in, and then the general asks him to have a drink. They are both buddies, they are friends. They were friends long back, and they took different sides. That's it. So one person says, I am going to escape. The other person says, okay, I will not let you escape. So how have you been? So that means it's not something which we see just in ancient times, even now. But even in ancient times, there used to be cases when Ashwatthama killed Arjuna's children. When Arjuna's children, when he was, when they were sleeping. So that's not supposed to be done. So in some cases, we see people helping each other, Krishna helping trying to help the Kauravas, and people like Bhishma also trying to help others, help the Pandavas, enemies. So we see all those, but bad things are there everywhere. But today, most of the Yuddham happens because people have enmity towards each other, not towards the qualities in a person. So all those are happening a lot these days. So even though all these bhedam, all these differences, all these issues are there, issues are much, much more than it was 50 years back. So 50 years back, though countries were not, didn't have any freedom, independence, but still, life was much smoother. Now life is much more problem. So we have a lot of facilities. So in the internet, in the touch of our fingertip, we can find anything. But along with that, there are more viruses. There are more bombs, which also can explode at the touch of a fingertip. So all those are there. So all these are part of this world. Bhedam, that is there. But I am not affected by any of these. Whatever happens there, I am not affected at all. That's why when Mahatma Gandhi's followers went to meet Ramana Maharshi, Ramana and said, okay, why don't you help the people who are suffering in this world? Ramana Maharshi said, oh no, I can't help. Why can't you help? I don't see suffering people. I only see Ishvara everywhere. There's no bhedam. So I am beyond this bhedam. How can I understand that? How can I convince myself that? Mayeva udeti chidvyomni jagat gandharva pattanam. So Lakshmidara himself has said very beautifully, Jagat Gandharva Pattanam. Sorry. This Jagat is Gandharva Pattanam. It is like a Gandharva Nagaram. It is not real. It is a castle in space. It is like a dream world. And so once a person goes to Ramana Maharshi and cries, he and his wife, they cry that their son passed away. So Ramana Maharshi sits there. And then Ramana Maharshi then talks to another person and asks him, why are you crying? Like I am crying because yesterday I had a dream in which I had a son and the son died. So Ramana Maharshi asked the question then. So that is like, oh, that is what this is also, both are same, both are similar. And Ramana Maharshi gives the example of another person who gets up and who is worried what to do. Should he cry about his son who has passed away now? Or should he cry about a son who has passed away in dream? Both the cases together. So Janaka, in some places we see Janaka's story. So Janaka, one fine day, Janaka dreams that he is a beggar. And then he wakes up. And then he thinks, am I a beggar? I'm not a beggar. So am I a king? In the same way, let me ask, am I a king? So he realizes immediately that I am not the beggar in dream. I am not a king in waking state. I am he who stands beyond the Sakshi Sarvan with a prayanaham naham kadachana. So Sakshi bhavijnana virati supti tad janma swapna jagarav jagarat swapna sushiti naam sakshyatoham atad dashah. I am the Sakshi of these three states. I am not affected by these three states. These three states are for the ego. I am ahankar. I am not the ahankaram. I am aham. Aham Atma, the Atman. And the Atman is Sachidananda, Makandam. It is beyond everything, beyond differences, beyond Bhedam. And that which is beyond Bhedam is, of course, blissful. Bhedam, wherever Bhedam is there, when we have uncovered a treasure and we only are there, then it is blissful because treasure is for ourselves. Imagine that we had two more partners in the crime, or in the crime or in the expedition, whatever we want to call, treasure hunt, treasure digging. So if that is the case, then it's a problem because it is limited. It will become limited. There are three people, two people, four people. It is limited. The more the Bhedam is, the more problem. So that's why people who are focused too much on Bhedam, there will be more problem. People who have lesser dual notion in the mind, people who consider, who have lesser kind of dual vision in their mind, they'll have lesser sorrow, they'll have a little bit more happiness than others. So, but my nature, okay, we don't have to then say, oh, let me try to reduce Bhedam. Well and good, try to reduce Bhedam. But why try to reduce Bhedam? Why not directly follow? We know that if I can reduce Bhedam, I can completely negate Bhedam. Then why not go for complete negation? So I know like I can take up tablets and reduce the cancer. But why not directly cure it through an operation? Of course, I don't know whether cancer is operable today. Maybe the operable is a wrong word. It's something which is curable, can be cured, but assume that it's curable. It can be cured, then why not cure it completely? So in the same way, why do we have to just reduce Bhedam? Why not completely remove it? And Krishna also says, Anityam Asukam Lokam. This world is Anityam. It's temporary. Asukam, it is something which is sorrowful. It's sorrowful. Each and every minute we will get sorrow only from this world. That's what we see in this world. People like who depend on this world, they all have sorrow. One day or the other. So, and one day, like today it will be one sorrow, tomorrow it will be some other, day after tomorrow it will be some other thing. So sorrow is always there. Sorrow is something which is constant. So, sorrow is something which is steady. And the cause of the sorrow might be different. The sorrow caused by losing money. Sorrow caused by losing jobs. Sorrow caused by not getting married. Sorrow caused by some other thing. Sorrow caused by physical pain, sorrow caused by mental pain. So all those, like, there are different causes for the sorrow. There is only sorrow in this world. This world is sorrowful. So this world, when seen as Bhedam, is sorrowful. At the same time, if we are able to apprehend our nature of Brahman, that I am Akanda Brahman, then even when we see this world, we will be able to see it as one Ishvara. Eta sarvani bhutani yasmin sarvani bhutani ആത്മൈവാഭൂ വിജാനതഃ തത്ര കോ മോഹഃ കഃ ശോകഃ ഏകത്വം അനുപശ്യതഃ. സോ എ പേഴ്സൺ ഹു നോസ് ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് എൻടയർ വേൾഡ് ഈസ് വൺ ആത്മൻ, വൺ ബ്രഹ്മൻ, ദർ ഇസ് നോ മോഹം, ദർ ഇസ് നോ ഡെല്യൂഷൻ, ബിക്കോസ് ഹി സീസ് റിയൽ വിഷൻ, ആൻഡ് ദർ ഇസ് നോ ശോകം, ദർ ഇസ് നോ ദുഃഖം. തരതി ശോകം ആത്മവിത് ആർ സയോഹ വൈ തത് പരമം ബ്രഹ്മവേദ ബ്രഹ്മൈവ ഭവതി. തരതി ശോകം തരതി പാപ്മാനം ഗുഹാത് ഗ്രന്ഥിഭ്യോ വിമുക്തോ അമൃതോ ഭവതി. പേഴ്സൺ ഹു ഗോസ് ബിയോണ്ട്, എ പേഴ്സൺ ഹു റിയലൈസസ് ബ്രഹ്മൻ, ഹി ഗോസ് ബിയോണ്ട് ശോകം, ഹി ഗോസ് ബിയോണ്ട് പാപം, ഹി ഗോസ് ബിയോണ്ട് മോഹം. സർവഭൂതസ്ഥം ആത്മാനം സർവഭൂതാനി ചാത്മനി ഈക്ഷത്തെ യോഗയുക്താത്മാ സർവത്ര സമദർശിനഃ. സമദർശനം, so I stand beyond this bhedam. Then what is this bhedam? This is bhedam is just nama rupam. Bhedam is just like with, as gata kudhyadikam sarvam ratika matram evahi tadvat brahma jagat sarvam iti vedanta dindima. So even pot, wall, etc. are just names and forms of one mud. It's just mud. Eta saumya ekena mrutpindena sarvam mrinmayam vijnatam syat vacharambanam vikaro namadheyam mrityetyeva satyam. So these, all these various objects made of mud, they are just mud. It's just a name and a form. So in the same way, tadvat brahma jagat sarvam, similarly this entire world of names and forms that we see is one brahman, and that brahman I am, and it is akandam. So though we say sat chit and anandam and all, it is akandam, it is indivisible, it is blissful, it alone is there, it stands beyond duality. There is no duality that can even paint it, that it can even touch it. And that Brahman I am. So if we are able to contemplate on this akanda vastu beyond the bhedam of this world, life will become very blissful. So jagat may be still there. If jagat is there, and the problems of jagat also may be there, all those are there, still it doesn't matter. It is like a person going to dream. So a person going to sleep and dreaming. So in dream a person might see a lot of bad things, but still he doesn't get afraid because he knows that those are not real. He suddenly wakes up and then again he dreams the next day as well, because he knows that those are not real. What is real is the waker. In the same way, all these bhedam that we experience in this world are not real. What is real is one Brahman alone. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to remember our nature of Akanda Ananda Bodham, so that our life will become very blissful. We'll continue later. Namaskar.